Jur is the governor's nestling and his consortium colony's legal administrator. When the judicant shows up and starts questioning how things are run around here, it becomes clear that Jur is something else, too. A very dangerous lawyer. Find out why in Mandatory Arbitration from Analog's July-August issue, written and read by Leonard Richardson.
The judicant's office was tidy, and Jer was the one who kept it tidy. Legal pads squared on the desk, shiny filing cabinets with the cases organized in different drawers, and the chair itself repositioned just so when Jer got up to leave for the day. The bungalow was made of extruded plastic and cement, no different from any other above-ground structure on the colony, but inside the bungalow was an office. There was order here, and law. In his office? No, the judicant was on her way. In her office, this office. Jer could feel the grandeur of the consortium and his own small part in it. The door rattled from the force of the judicant's knock, and then again when she slammed it open along its rails. Jer trembled respectfully. No one told him much of anything, but it would have been nice to know that his boss was a Kachihe or that Kachihe were so large. The judicant squeezed through the plastic door, reaching back with one hand to pull her tail inside the bungalow before shutting the door against the dust storms that made life here so miserable. In her other two hands, the judicant held a small rattan basket that in a trick of perspective became quite large as she set it down next to the legal pads. The basket was enormous. Jer and the desk were too small. The judicant pulled off her dust mask and smiled, revealing meat-ripping teeth dripping with stalactites of saliva. "This was in my hotel room," she told Jer. "I'm not allowed to accept gifts, and it's all Ricto food, which I can't eat. Would you mind giving it to a local charity?" "Yes, the Miners Benevolent Association would, I'm sure." Jer peeked around the basket. "You must be Ravi Uvana?" "I am," said the Kachihe. "I'm afraid I was not able to get any information about you. Usually the colony government sends a CV." "Oh, that's no surprise, ma'am. It's a little disorganized. I'm Tektaf Japarik. Mr. Fitzroy calls me Jer." "Should I call you Jer as well?" No other possibility had occurred to Jer. "Yeah, I don't mind," he said. "Are you any relation to Colony Governor Tektaf?" "Yes, my nest mother, actually. That's... I know Kachihe don't do the nest mother thing, but obviously not all Ricto cultures do it either, but it's a pretty common..." He trailed off, although Ms. Ravi showed no signs of flagging attention. "Yes, long story short, we are related. And I imagine you went to law school on your homeworld?" "Technically, you don't need a law degree to take the Galactic Bar," said Jer. "Oh, my apologies," said Ms. Ravi. "I don't mean to be a snob, but the legal administrator of a consortium colony frequently has a law degree." "Nestmom, the governor doesn't like fancy lawyers," said Jer. "She says they just get in the way and ruin everything." "That has been known to happen," said Ms. Ravi, without elaborating. "Well, I'd like to get started with the cases. Show me what troubles have followed the Ricto to their first off-world colony." Jer was finally in his element. He flew between the filing cabinets, opening each drawer in turn. "Criminal cases, universal basic income claims due to disability, this one's also UBI disability, applications for permits." "Civil suits?" said the judicant. "No civil suits," said Jer proudly. "What?" said Ms. Ravi. She leaned over the desk and tugged at the bottom drawer of the nearest filing cabinet. Jer had set this drawer aside for civil cases, because otherwise the room would look lopsided, but it was proudly kept empty. "The mining operations on this colony are run by Monolith Minerals," said Ms. Ravi. "Is that right?" "Oh, yes, ma'am. Monolith has been very good to the Ricto. We're excellent diggers. As a species, I mean. I scored 16th percentile myself." "I visit a lot of mining colonies," said Ms. Ravi, "and Monolith is a magnet for lawsuits, wrongful death, workplace safety." "I wouldn't know about that, ma'am, but it doesn't happen here." Ms. Ravi frowned, revealing a second orchestra of teeth in her lower jaw. "Why not?" Shaken by the day's surprises, Jer was caught off guard by this obvious cross-examination question. The legal answer was somewhere. "Oh yes. We filed an alternative dispute resolution procedure when we set up the colony." He turned to the only cabinet drawer not already open. It contained the colony's constitution and other founding documents. "And the consortium approved it?" said Ms. Ravi. For the first time, strong emotion entered her voice. "ADRP is for incorporating an indigenous legal system. This is a frontier colony." Jer raised one slim finger, then added a second to make sure the judicant saw it. "This is a Ricto colony, ma'am," he said. And contrary to what some people think, we do have traditions. Three stapled sheets of paper stuck up like a stray hair in the filing cabinet. It was the paper used by the Rictoplanetary government, slightly wider and longer than the standard consortium legal size. Yes, here we go. Trial by combat. Very traditional. Ms. Ravi grunted, plucked the odd-sized paper with her talons, and started reading. No need for civil suits here, said Jer, his mind on autopilot. If anybody has a problem with Monolith, it gets settled with the combat. Keeps it nice and tidy and less work for you. Less work for you was supposedly the feature that would sell the consortium Judicant on this system once she arrived. But saying it out loud, it didn't seem very convincing. Jer enjoyed legal work, making sure all the little pieces fit together. Why wouldn't Ravi Yovana? Ms. Ravi finished reading the ADRP form. Obviously your homeworld is outside my jurisdiction and new to the consortium, she said. But I don't remember hearing about a member state that settles civil suits via hand-to-hand combat. Oh, we haven't on homeworld for a while. How long a while? About 6,000 local? Jer was painfully aware of his own notarized signature at the bottom of the ADRP form. It was just between nest mothers back then. Very traditional, though. Okay, said Ms. Ravi, in a tone very far from actually thinking this was okay. Where are the records of the combats? I do have those, actually. That's good, because they're records of consortium legal proceedings. Where are they? Yeah, I know what you're saying. Mr. Fitzroy tried to brush me off, but I insisted. Jer took a handheld computer out of a desk drawer, wrapped in cloth to protect it from the dust. I logged the combats in this spreadsheet. He handed over the computer. What took him two hands fit in the Kachihei's palm. Spreadsheet. Better than nothing. Ms. Ravi gently brushed at the computer, scanning the screen. This Paul Caulfield person shows up a lot. I take it they work for Monolith? He's their proxy. An individual can't go hand-to-hand against a corporation, so basically Monolith calls me for every combat, and I put it in the log because, yes, technically it is a legal proceeding, as I told Mr. Fitzroy. They call you? Said Ms. Ravi. You're the legal administrator. You're supposed to referee. And I have done that a couple times, said Jer. He shuddered at the memory. But after what happened the first time, most of the plaintiffs don't show, so usually there's no combat. Very tidy, nobody gets hurt, it's a good system. Ravi Yovana sat down on the floor across from the desk Jer had kept ready for her. Thank you, Jer, she said, in a tone mostly, but not entirely, lacking genuine thanks. The situation is becoming clear to me. Now, while I think this over, let's process some nice relaxing disability claims. As the governor's nestling and an official of the colonial government, Jer had a standing dinner invitation at Governor's Borough. The food was the best in the colony, but Jer usually skipped it. He liked being underground, but he couldn't stand all his cousins who ran the colony. Most of them were stupid, and the smart ones were creepy. Mr. Fitzroy of Monolith Minerals did visit every night, and finding him at dinner was easier than tracking him down through Monolith's confusing personal communication system. So that night, Jer swallowed his pride and headed down into the fancy warrens. The yields are getting better, Mr. Fitzroy told the soup-slurping crowd. Much better than we expected, some of them. This place will make its money back before you know it. Jer had never seen Mr. Fitzroy eat here, even though human and Ricto food were compatible. He just sat at the table and drank scotch. How's it going with our Judicant? Nestmom asked Jer. I heard she was a Kachihei. How exotic. Jer wasn't used to being called on at dinner, and it took him a moment to realize that Nestmom was no longer talking to Mr. Fitzroy. It's mixed, he said. It's going mixed. Mr. Fitzroy, I actually need to talk to you about something. He pushed a legal folder across the packed earth table, nudging the human's empty soup thermos. Whenever you have time. Hmm? Said Mr. Fitzroy, not making any move to touch the folder. Don't keep us in suspense, Japarik, said Nestmom. Jer balked. No, attorney-client privilege didn't apply here. It's a summons, he told the table. The consortium is filing suit against Monolith regarding misuse of the alternative dispute resolution procedure. We want us, you, to stop, to cease, and desist. Oh, I knew it, said Nestmom. She's here one day and already trying to wreck our colony. Her accusing finger pointed at one of the lesser cousins. You! I told you to prepare a gift basket! She's got you acting as her process server, huh? Mr. Fitzroy shrugged and picked up the folder with the hand not occupied with his scotch tumbler. I'll fax it to Earth and they'll put it on the pile. The government sues us all the time. Well, this is what I wanted to talk to you about, sir, said Jer. I mean, there's a little... Spit it out, boy. The Judicant is also invoking the ADRP against Monolith. The summons is for a trial by combat. First thing tomorrow morning. Ridiculous, said Mr. Fitzroy. He tried to open the folder one-handed. A plaintiff can't initiate a trial by combat. Only the defendant can do that. I know what you're thinking that, said Jer helpfully. That's what it said in the draft your office sent over, but obviously I had to strike that. You changed the application? Mr. Fitzroy bellowed. An ADRP has to be invocable by either party in a suit. Otherwise, it's not fair. The consortium wouldn't have approved the application. You think anyone actually reads those things? I read them, said Jer. People don't read things. Why do we bother having laws? Why not just let Monolith do whatever they want? It matters not, said Nestmom in a soothing tone. If it does come down to combat, what's-his-name will show her what's what. Pilcafil, said Jer helpfully. Yes, whatever his name is, he's a real... Nestmom made a big bicep. Mr. Fitzroy sighed. Jesus. I'll have my PA call Pilcafil and tell him he's working tomorrow. Ain't nobody else around here can take on a catcher, hey? I hope you're right, Governor. Of course I'm right, said Nestmom. The yields coming out of these mines are right on the edge of profitability. If this woman starts demanding we add a bunch of overhead to protect people, I may have to recommend Monolith pull out of the colony. Now look what you've done, barked Nestmom. I didn't do anything, Jer protested. I'm just following the law. But apparently, that wasn't enough for some people. Combats, when they happened, were held in the Monolith Minerals employee cafeteria. It was the only indoor space large enough for the 10-meter circle defined by the ADRP. Jer scooted around the room, drawing a large chalk after him. The cafeteria was just one more place on the colony Jer didn't want to be. After what Pilcafil had done to the first miner he'd fought, Jer had stopped eating here, which left him with precious few options for breakfast. Jer allowed his hand to wobble and drew the circle around Pilcafil's feet, rather than telling him to move. Jer was the smallest one in his litter, and in modern society, such things weren't supposed to matter, but clearly they still did. Pilcafil was able to make a good living just by standing around, being so tough that burly diggers were afraid of him. Jer lifted the chalk, and Ravivana stepped daintily into the combat circle as though about to address a jury. Before Jer could even open his mouth, Pilcafil vaulted up onto her, clawing at her chest with his bare feet and reaching around her back for the joint of her third arm. He was strong, fast, and someone had told him where to find Akachuhe's weak points. Ms. Ravi had probably never been in a fight before, but she masked four times what Pilcafil did and she had more limbs. There was no contest. She slapped Pilcafil to the ground with her tail, picked him up like a struggling duffel bag, and with a loud grunt tossed him across the cafeteria. Pilcafil's body hit a folded metal table and thumped to the ground, half in and half outside the chalk circle. The brawler made a token effort to crawl away, and then the wobbling table fell on him and he was still. The whole thing had taken less than 10 seconds. Nestmom was shouting, "What is the referee's ruling?" Jer stood there stunned, his hearts pounding into one another, and only once Ms. Ravi and Mr. Fitzroy and Nestmom were all looking at him did Jer remember that he was the referee. Jer saw what Nestmom was saying. Every fight held under the ADRP had been so one-sided that the result was obvious. But legally speaking, Jer was the judge. He could rule in favor of the guy lying unconscious outside the combat circle and the ruling would stand. No one had authority to overrule him. It wasn't even lying. Whatever he said would be the truth. A stupid cousin would have blurted out the obvious. A smart cousin would have taken Nestmom's hint. But the tedious, low-paying job of colonial legal officer had been given to Jer, the weird cousin, the one who actually cared about making all the little details make sense. So Jer thought it over, and then he spoke. "This court finds for the plaintiff," he said, emphasizing every single word. "The alternative dispute resolution procedure is void." "Oh, you're the worst one," Nestmom screamed. "You're worse than the stupid ones because you think you're smart." And so Jer ended up getting hurt in the fight, too. Ravivana was easy to catch up with. She limped through the mid-morning dust storm down the road toward the spaceport, walking no faster than a healthy Ricto. "Are you leaving?" said Jer, running alongside her. Ms. Ravi squinted at him. She'd left her dusk mask in the cafeteria, and she was breathing through the sleeve of her blouse. "Is there a multi-species first aid kit in your office?" she said. "It's required in all government, but yes, mine is probably the only one." "Then I'm going to your office," said Ms. Ravi. "They'll terminate you effective end of day, but we should be able to get through most of the criminal cases." "Are we in trouble, ma'am?" said Jer. "With the consortium?" "I get in trouble all the time," said Ms. Ravi. "Oh?" Jer never thought of trouble as something survivable. Monolith has been wrecking planets and killing colonists for longer than I've been alive. I find out about it, I file a lawsuit, and someone higher up is convinced to look the other way. But this time they went too far. They messed with the Ricto, said Jer with a surge of patriotic pride. They messed with the legal system, said the Judicant. They found a loophole that made the people who've enforced the law look foolish. That's the one thing that can't be ignored. So no, we won't get in trouble. But Monolith is going to pull out, said Jer. This is the only Ricto colony. Jer, stop making that face, said Ms. Ravi. You care about your species as a whole, not just your nest. That's very admirable. When I write my report, I will recommend that the consortium government sponsor your JD. I don't need to go to college, said Jer. I'm already a lawyer. Ms. Ravi glared at Jer like she wanted to eat him. You're a very dangerous lawyer, she said. Because I think I'm smart? Nest Mom's taunt would never stop stinging. You are smart, said Ms. Ravi. It was not a compliment. You just need to spend some time with other lawyers. Maybe then you'll notice when someone is trying to use you. Oh, said Jer. He thought about this. Are you trying to use me? Wouldn't it be nice to know? Ms. Ravi leaned her unbloodied side against the door to the office and practically yanked it off its sliders. Criminal complaints, printed on consortium-sized legal paper and laid out on Jer's desk, rattled in the wind. The office was free of dust and blood, but not for long.